Preaching is actually quite a daunting task. It's not easy. Sometimes a preacher might seem like they know what they're doing, that they're authoritative when they preach, they feel comfortable when they preach, but it's actually really hard, I find, for three reasons. Number one, we have to preach the Word of God, and that's huge. And we know our own sinfulness, our own limitedness, our own smallness, and our own life experience, and somehow we have to preach God's Word in its greatness, its magnitude. We have to preach it with clarity and in a way that really can touch the lives of people. And this is something that's really big. It's not like when I get to the pulpit, I can just talk about things that interest me and, you know, talk about what's going on in the news or something. But as a preacher, I have to preach the Word of God, which is really the biggest thing in all of creation. That itself, you can imagine, is quite a daunting thing to do. Then the other challenge I find is we have to preach to people. And we have to preach to so many people who are different and have varied life experiences. And some people are having an easy time in life right now. Others have gone through some horrible things. And some people are just, you know, perhaps facing the end of their lives and have lost loved ones, and it's tough because we have to, as preachers, preach a message that is going to lift people up, going to give them a sense of hope, a sense of direction and wisdom. And that is very daunting also. A preacher, when he gets to the pulpit and he notices the people, you know, can probably feel a little bit in his heart that this is really tough. And then the third thing I find challenging about preaching is when the messages of the Bible are negative. For example, the whole idea of calling people to turn away from sin, believe it or not, it's a hard message to preach. And it's difficult because we're basically telling people, listen, you got something wrong and you got to change. And I'm here to tell you that you have to change. And think about you doing that. It's not really a comfortable thing. Well, it's a message, though, that is very, very present in all of the sacred scriptures. You look at the beginning of the Bible with the fall of Adam and Eve, and it talks about the original sin, and right away we start to see its consequences on how it breaks people's relationship to God and their relationship to each other. Then you go to the Old Testament, and you have the revelation from God about the commandments and His call for us to turn away from sin. Then you come to the prophecies about the coming of Jesus, and it's really all about saving people from their sins. That's what the name of Jesus means. The angel said that His name will be called Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. And then before we hear about preaching and miracles of Christ, we have John the Baptist, who strongly and constantly calls people to repent. And he's so strong about this that he gets thrown into a dungeon and eventually he's put to death. And then finally, when we have Jesus preaching in the New Testament, in the Gospel, His message of repentance is very clear. And sometimes His call to resist sin and turn away from it and repent uses very extreme symbolic language, warning us about how dangerous it is to go down a path of sin. But you go further on in the New Testament, you go to the Acts of the Apostles, and it still continues. The Apostles are telling people about this new life of Christ, about His suffering, His death, and His resurrection, and how they have to follow Him. But they tell the people, you have to turn away from sin. And in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we hear this mysterious teaching about the reality of eternal life. And it shows that heaven is a place for those who have turned away from sin and have won the victory over sin. Now, all of that talk, when you go to the Bible, seems kind of negative. It seems like if we want to get involved in our religion, if we want to know God and try to do His will, we got all this negative stuff coming to us. Boy, you have to turn away from your sins. You got a problem. You have to change. And it's hard to appreciate that when we feel that it's directed toward us ourselves. But there is in all of sacred scripture another sort of understanding of this call from the Lord. And I want to point out one passage from the book of Psalms that can become like a lens through which we view this call to turn away from sin. There's one line in the Psalms which says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, it revives the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect, it revives the soul. And when you hear that, that's something that is very positive. When we hear talk about the law of God, we feel that it's something that's foreign to us sometimes, that it's imposed upon us. But this psalm is saying that the law of God is perfect, which means it's the best, that it's always good. In fact, it's best for us, the most excellent thing for us, to live by the law of the Lord. That's the key. Once we understand that, then we can strive for it more fully. The law of God, the psalm says, revives the soul. You know, a lot of people, I think almost everybody, often wants to experience a kind of renewal in their life, a kind of new lease on life, a sense that they can begin again, they can start over, they can have an interior sense of strength, an interior power that enables them to carry on in their life's journey. Well, this psalm is telling us that if we follow the law of God, that's where this interior strength, this interior life, this new life will be experienced by us. If we follow the law of God, we will experience a new life on the inside. How many people today are weighed down by so much stuff, by guilt, by anger, by regrets, by frustrations, by challenges and fears, and all kinds of troubles. And the scripture is saying, you know what? Yeah, you're going through a lot right now, but if you follow God's will, you will be renewed on the inside. You'll become a new person. And this, I feel, is a good lens through which to view this call of the sacred scriptures to turn away from sin. It makes the whole thing a really positive thing, doesn't it? You know, it's like my whole relationship to God and following the Lord Jesus is not so much about turning away from something, which is kind of like a negative move, but it's a moving towards something. It's moving towards this new life in Christ. In the Old Testament, I was listening to a scripture scholar talk about this some years ago, and he was saying in the Old Testament there's a word that often is used for the reality of sin that could also be translated into English to miss the mark or to miss the target. So if you were throwing darts at the dartboard and you had friends who spoke the Hebrew language and you missed the target, some of them would say to you in their language the phrase, you've sinned, you've missed the target, you've missed the goal. Well, I really like this understanding of the reality of sin, because you know, if you miss a target, it means you can try again. You can try to use the time you have left in your life's journey to get it right next time. What is our target? Our target, our goal, is holiness, happiness, fullness of life. We don't want to feel like we're missing out on life to the full. We want peace. We want love. Well, our target is these positive things. Think, for example, of so many other things in life where we're moved because of a positive goal. For example, the body. What is our goal? Our goal is health. It's not so much to avoid, you know, a heart attack or a disease or something. The goal is health, to be physically fit, to be able to be healthy. Or work. The goal at work is not simply to get by in the day, but it's to accomplish something, to get something done, and to really earn our pay. Or you think about academic life in school. The goal is not simply to avoid getting an F. The goal is to pass the test and pass the course, to get an A, but above all, to know the material so you can become smarter. Now, when you're aiming towards something, that becomes a real motivation. an inspiration. If it's just, I want to avoid something bad, well, that's not a powerful inspiration. It can be at times, especially when, you know, you're going to avoid something that's really terrible. But to think about it in this aspect, that when we are looking, moving towards something good, something positive, that gives us a real motivation to press on as hard as we can. Well, the target and the goal for the whole of our lives, our entire lives, is ultimately heaven. But in this life, this great goal is to live in a state of grace. That's what the language of the church is today. To not live in a state of sin, but to live in a state of grace. That is to live in holiness, to live in oneness with the law of God, which is perfect and revives the soul. There's one part of the teaching of Jesus where he says to his disciples, I have called you friends. And for me, this is a key passage from his teaching. He shows us that our goal, our motivation, is to live as faithful friends of the Lord Jesus. You see how this is not a negative thing, but it's something very positive. One saint said many centuries ago that the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisest and our best friend. And so, brothers and sisters, let us live for this positive goal of being faithful friends of the Lord Jesus. When we are living by His law, which is the way we live as His friends, then He will revive our soul, will give us strength, and lift us up. Jesus truly is our wisest and our best friend. May we live for this friendship. God bless you.